This is the 29th of May, 1976, and Gerda and I are interviewing in the Junction City area. What is your name?
My name is Karen Madsen McComsey.
And who in your ancestry was the immigrant?
My four grandparents were born in Denmark and came to the United States.
Would you give us their names?
My mother's mother's name was Karen Ut, and she came from Yulan, from Dons Yulan. Her husband's name was Mas Bollason. My father's,
he came from
the same area, although he was born in Tista, Yulan, but had worked in Dons, and in that area, he and my grandmother became acquainted, and he came to America first, and then she joined him.
Why did he come to the States?
I think it was a very, very poor part of Denmark, Thisted in Jylland, and he had moved to Kolding to work in a mill, and I think came to America to better himself. It was a promised land, or...
And your mother came to marry him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not my mother, my grandmother. Right.
That's right, your grandmother came
mm-hmm. Right.
Did he send money back to her?
Yes, he did. I don't know how much, however.
Did either your maternal grandmother or grandfather tell you how the family reacted to his or her coming to the States?
I don't think his family had any reaction. He had already left home. And it was just going further away from home. I think her family she was marrying beneath her to marry my grandfather. And I don't think it would have been permitted in Denmark, but when he went to America and she decided to join him, they couldn't prevent it, or didn't at any rate.
Now, what about your paternal parents?
I don't know too much about them other than that they were both born in Denmark, and I don't believe they were married in Denmark either. I think they both came to Iowa and then were married in Iowa.
How did your parents, first, what were your parents' names?
My mother's name was Anna Bollason, and my father's name was Ernest Madsen.
And do you know how they met?
They were both living in around the area of Tyler, Minnesota, and I think were young people together going to the same church.
Did your grandparents speak any English?
Yes, they did.
Did they speak English before they came to the States?
No.
Do you know, have you heard any stories of how they learned?
No, I really don't know, because my grandfather died in 1941, so, and my grandmother before that time. I'm not sure how they learned English.
Now, your mother and father spoke Danish.
They did.
Fluently.
Right.
And they were both born in the United States.
That's right.
Before we go on, did your grandparents become citizens of the United States?
I don't know.
Your parents then spoke Danish.
Right, and English. And our home was bilingual. I was born and raised on a farm in Tyler. We always had hired men, and most of the time they did not speak Danish. But my parents believed that we should learn the Danish language as well as the English, although at that time there were many who the feeling was that it was America and the language should be English. My parents, luckily for me and for my brother, didn't share that opinion, so taught us Danish.
Did you speak English? Did your brother speak English when you went to school?
Yes, mm-hmm. And it wasn't a matter of not speaking English when we started first grade. We had learned it as children, so I think we just spoke two languages. In my home, we also went, of course, to English school, but in the summers went to vacation school in the Danish language. And this was school for 4, 5, or 6 weeks, where we learned about Denmark, the history of Denmark, singing Danish songs, and learning to read Danish.
You mentioned church. In the church services in Sunday school, did you speak English or Danish?
Danish, because it was Danish. I was confirmed in Danish in this church in Tyler, Minnesota. And I think maybe the class or two after I was confirmed, then changed to the English language. So it was Danish until almost the late 30s.
What was the name of that church?
The Danebud Lutheran Church in Tyler, Minnesota.
Were there any people in that community or at that church who did not speak Danish or were not Danish? Can you remember?
At the time that it was Danish?
Yes.
I don't suppose there were many, actually.
Well,
there were other churches in that little town.
Would you describe your family home in or near Tyler?
We lived in
a tour
of the house.
Of the house?
Yes. A tour of the house. Our house was on the farm of my grandparents, and the dining room was the original one-room house that my grandparents, or that my grandfather built when my grandmother joined him. And then it was added on to over the years.
Did he homestead that land?
Yes, he did. Bought it apparently from the railroad. And his son farmed the land after my grandfather moved away, and then my father in turn bought it.
Now, would you go back to the living room?
All right. The living room was a square. It was the dining room, actually, which was the house, the original house. And there was a kitchen. In the days during my childhood, and in the kitchen was the stairway to the basement, which was the old trap door, which you opened up and walked down into the basement. And upstairs there were 3 bedrooms. And
were there any other rooms on the first floor?
There was a parlor, which was used more in the summer than in the winter time, because it was a little bit hard to heat, and another bedroom.
What was the kitchen facilities that your mother had to work with?
Oh, cook stove.
What kind?
I don't know what the brand was.
Wood.
Corn cobs. We used corn cobs, really, to heat.
Why?
I guess it was readily available. They fed corn to the pigs, and the cobs were available. There weren't a lot of trees for wood, and coal cost money.
Would you describe your room, or the room you slept in?
I slept upstairs in the south bedroom, and there was a closet and a bed and a chest of drawers. And I remember that it was dreadfully cold in the winter time, and often we had the warm sheets, that, you know, flannel blanket, and I remember taking a hot water bottle to bed. And it seems to me I had a system where when I was ready to go to bed, I would put it on in the middle of the bed, and then on the pillow, and then as I jumped into the bed, down at the foot. It was very cold in Minnesota.
Yes. What was your brother's name?
My brother's name was Harold.
Older or younger?
He's younger, and he farms now on our family farm.
Did he have a middle name?
Hakon.
Hakon.
Harald Hakon Madsen.
That sounds a little bit Danish.
It does. It is.
Did he follow the same form of education?
Right. He and I and his wife went to Denmark last summer. It was his first trip to Denmark. And we met, I think, over 100 relatives in Denmark.
Tell us more.
There are many first cousins and many, many second cousins. And one, I think my mother has one living aunt in Denmark.
Did you get to see her?
Got to see her, yes. She's 92 years old, I believe.
Did she have any stories about your mother or grandmother?
My mother has corresponded with her family in Denmark over the years. And I remember her saying that she would write 20-some letters at Christmas time to relatives. My mother visited in Denmark when she was 18, and then she was there again in the 50s when I was living in Europe, and she and my father came to visit us. And she kept a very close relationship with her aunts and uncles and cousins in Denmark.
Could you give me a sort of a background of your education? You went through elementary school.
I went through elementary school and high school in Tyler, Minnesota. And then I went 1 year to Grandview College in Des Moines, Iowa, and worked then for a few years and went back another year at Grandview College.
What year were those years that you were at Grandview?
I was there in 1941, 42, and 1946 and 47. And then I was also at Grandview 2 or 3 years as secretary.
What degree did you get from Grandview?
An associate degree, 2-year degree.
Have you gone on with your education?
No, I haven't.
Give us a kind of a reaction to your time at Grandview. Think back and just let your mind wander.
They were good days, and I think the friendships that we made at Grandview are lasting friendships. I think the just this afternoon, a couple who was at Grandview in 1946 and 47 and 47 and 48 came to say hello. You just never lose touch, it seems. You just might not see each other, but then when you do, it's like part of a family, really.
You start off in the middle of a sentence.
Right.
Where you left off.
That's right.
What caused Grandview to be that way?
I think it was because we were all so much from the same type of background. Most of us came from families. Were our roots with the Danish Grundtvigian Church was very strong. My grandfather and grandmother originally settled in Luverne, Minnesota, but moved then to Tyler simply because of the Danabud folk school. The folk school movement up there was strong, and they had an interest in it from Denmark. And that was then generated to my parents. And
did your parents go to the folk school?
Yeah, Danabud, both of them did.
Did you?
No, I went there one summer when they had girls' school.
Explain that.
It was only for girls, and it was perhaps 4 weeks in duration, and there again, the girls came from many communities in the Midwest, and it was in the time when Holger Stranskove was the minister in Tyler.
Who encouraged you besides your parents to go to
Grandview?
Grandview?
Oh, I think it was just a general encouragement to the people who had been there before, and because we just knew that someone else had had a good experience at Grandview, it seemed like a natural place to go to school.
mentioned the philosophy of Grundtvig. Would you more or less recap that philosophy as you remember it?
I think I remember it probably through the church in Danebud. The church was our life, but not perhaps as in a religious sense, but the singing and the lectures and the social events and it was just the center of activity for the people who belonged there.
Just a few moments ago, you gave me a Danish phrase that encapsulated, in a way, the Grundtvigian philosophy.
In Danish, I guess it's "Menneske først og Kristen så," which translated means the man as a human being first, and secondary as a spiritual person.
And how was this translated at Grandview into something that made you people hold on to each other as friends for so long?
I don't know how it was. I suppose the things that we shared at Grandview. We did a lot of singing, but we did a lot of singing in our church in Tyler too. And
do you hold on to the people from Tyler and Donegal as tightly as you do to the ones from Grandview?
Yes, I think I do.
We've kind of beat Grandview to pieces here. Let's go back to Tyler. What was a Christmas like in your home?
Christmas in our home. There always seemed to be church service at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And when I...
In Danish?
Yes, in Danish. And then later on in English. And it was as special in English as it was in Danish. And when we lived on the farm, the chores were partially done before we went. And then we would go to church, and the church was always full. It was packed. All the people were home from vacation, and the services were short, and there was singing and at the on either side of the altar were always two Christmas trees decorated only in the early years with real candles, you know, and real candles, and then the silver garlands and silver tinsel. And two men would be sitting in the front pew with a long stick and then wet cotton or something at the end so that in case of fire they were there. And after church services, we were always happy to see everyone. And then we went home, and while my father and brother finished the chores, we got the dinner ready and always had a nice dinner. And then the door was opened into the parlor that I told you about.
Tell us about that dinner first, though.
All right. I guess we usually had duck stuffed with apples and prunes.
Sounds Danish.
And red cabbage and mashed potatoes and good gravy.
More Danish.
Right. And
did you have any special thing that night besides the duck?
We always started out with lisengloy, and lisengloy is rice cooked in milk with an almond. Have you had that?
What happened if you got the almond?
If I got the almond, there was always a prize.
And if your brother got it?
There was a prize for him. Right. Everyone liked to get the almond, and if you saw that the almond was in your dish, you usually ate all the way around it so that everyone else had eaten their rice before the person with the almond said that it was there. And then after this dinner, we went into the parlor, and the tree was lit. Usually, in most of my years, I remember real candles on the tree. And then we danced around the Christmas tree, which means we all took each other's hand and walked around and sang Christmas carols.
What are the names of some of those Christmas carols?
We always start out with Nu Hava Yuligen, right?
Do you remember the names of any of the others?
Oh, in Danish? Dejligt en himmelblå. And julen har bragt velsignet bud. And et barn er født I Bethlehem.
A child is born in Bethlehem.
Right, a child is born in Bethlehem. Which reminds me, this dancing around the Christmas tree, as we were young people, we belonged to what we called a young people society. And sponsored by the church. And at Christmas time, we'd always have a Christmas party in the what we call the gym hall in Tyler. And it was also a night when we gathered, and there was a huge tree decorated with, as I remember it, paper roses and paper heart-shaped baskets filled with candy or something, and paper cone-shaped baskets, which the ladies of the church had made, and which this tremendous tree, many feet tall, was decorated with. And then we would join hands and make rings around the tree. Maybe there would be five rings of young people walking around this tree, always in the opposite direction, very orderly, and singing songs, and we sing the Christmas carols and look at the tree, and it's a very special feeling, and something that those who don't do that and who don't take time to look at a beautiful Christmas tree miss.
Did you have
at Christmas time in our home? Yes, we did, but they were not expensive presents.
When did you exchange the presents?
After we had sung our songs around the tree in the evening, later on. And not Christmas morning, it was Christmas Eve.
Did you go to church on Christmas Day?
Yes, we did.
When?
I think at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then we had a large family in Minnesota. My mother was one of eight children, and my father was one of 11. And so there were Christmas parties. There's an expression in Danish that goes, "Julen varer vi til påske," which means Christmas lasts until Easter. And it's almost literally true in Tyler, Minnesota, because there were Christmas parties from never before Christmas, not the traditional American where you start Christmas the 1st of December, but Christmas started Christmas Eve and not before. But it lasted until Three Kings Day or whatever it is. So.
How do you say that in Danish?
What?
Three Kings Day.
Eller Tre Kongsaften.
Just have to check this Danish out, you know.
And I think that was the day. We always had our Christmas tree up until that day, and that was the last day the candles were lit or the lights were turned on. And then the tree came down.
Were there any other Danish holidays that you celebrated, which you celebrated in Tyler, Minnesota?
We celebrated the Danish national, what do we call it? National holiday, Femte Juni, which is the 5th of June, the equivalent to our 4th of July. It was a special day for me because it's also my birthday. And the way it was celebrated was at the church again, and began in the afternoon. There were always lectures, which again, I think is part of the Grundtvig philosophy. People like to hear lectures and hear someone talk about. It was part of the ongoing education, I think, for people. And and there was singing, and you'd listen to someone, and there were games for the children, and there was always a stand, which we called it, where they sold soft drinks and ice cream, and it was a very special thing for children to be able to spend 5 or 10 cents to buy an ice cream cone.
And in the evening?
I don't remember that. It really went on into the evening, unless there was, again, more of the same in the evening.
Do you remember any other holidays or days of Danish tradition?
Days of Danish tradition? No, I'm not sure that I do.
Okay. Tell me about your mother.
My mother taught Sunday school, first of all, when I was a little girl. And in those days, they had no Sunday school material, and I feel that they were excellent Sunday school teachers because they did it from the top of their head. And my mother was a good storyteller, too. I remember always when we had our Christmas celebrations and the family was invited for dinner, she'd always tell a story to the children. It was a rare gift that few people have.
Can you remember one of her stories?
I wish I could. There was a story about a little kitten, but I'm it was about a little kitten that purred. I wish I could remember it.
You're married.
I'm divorced.
Oh,
right.
But you were.
I was married.
What was your...
My husband's name was Norman McComsey, and by chance he attended Grandview College because he was from Junction City and was a friend of Jerry Rasmussen, whom you've talked with today, and went back to Grandview College after the war to go to school, and we met and were married.
How did your parents feel about you marrying such a foreigner?
I don't know if my mother ever reconciled to the fact that I married someone whose name didn't end in S-E-N, but although she learned to like someone by the name of McComsey.
And you had children?
I had children.
What are their names?
Jane and Ellen.
And you didn't pick Scandinavian names. Was that your idea or your husband's idea?
I think Ellen might be considered a Scandinavian name, but...
Touché.
Right.
Jane.
Jane is not a Scandinavian name, no.
And are your children interested in their Danishness?
I think one daughter might be, but not to a great degree yet.
Do they speak Danish?
No, they don't. I think, however, unless you marry someone who speaks... I think it's very difficult to teach your children.
Especially when you're the only one in the family.
Right, right. You almost have to travel with them to that country to learn, unless they have really an aptitude for our language.
And you have been in Denmark.
Yes.
You must have been given a dream of Denmark. When you went there, how did Denmark live up to the dream?
I think it lived up to it very well.
Explain.
I can only say that as soon as I retire, I'm going to live in Denmark for some time. I'm going to live there at least for the summer months or maybe even longer.
But how did Denmark live up to your dream?
I suppose that the people are hugely.
All right, now explain that.
I don't know if I can explain that. I think the delightful thing to me about Denmark and the Danish people is that they speak Danish and are Danes. It warms my heart to be in Denmark, where I'm surrounded by people who speak Danish. And I don't know why that's true, except that I have just a feeling for it, and I think it stems from my parents and from the way that from my childhood and my feeling for death.